Welcome to part two of our conversation with Becca and Lynn Thomas about abandoned graves.
I mean, it makes you wonder, where were these stones originally at, if they were on the property? I mean, is that something, to your knowledge, that they've ever looked into to try and contact previous owners or anything like that, just to get a simple answer? I mean, I would think it's an easy question to ask, or I'm surprised it wasn't caught in a home inspection, quite honestly. It's like graves in the shed. Like, how was this not noticed before buying the home?
Oh, I know. It was, I think, two headstones.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but I have no clue, and I really don't communicate with them to know, you know, any of those answers. I'm sorry. I don't know how they got there or what they were doing about them.
Do you think spirits can sometimes, do they feel an attachment to markers like that, like a grave stone? I mean, it's usually an item or an object that they had no contact with in their lifetime. It's quite often something that's, you know, erected and put up after their death. But of course, it's a stone for them. It is marking who they are and where they are located. Do you think things like that sometimes are very meaningful to the deceased once they're gone, and messing with them or moving them plays a factor in their peacefulness or comfort on the other side?
I do. So,
I think it's the last remaining thing that's theirs. You know, you should respect it. So
let's talk. We've talked about graveyards that you've been into that are seemingly marked. Have you ever come into contact with graveyards that are not necessarily known to the general public on a regular basis, unmarked graves, areas where family plots, you know, out in the back of someone's field that, you know, the old farmer's family is built back, is buried back there, or things of that nature with activity in it?
Oh, yes. I know my sister lives down south in southern Maine a little bit, and she has ATV trails behind her house, and she took me out on them one time. And there are at least 3 to 4 hidden, unmarked cemeteries there where if you're not specifically looking for them, there's no way you're going to see them. And I'm talking strips of iron that have been nailed with a nail to form the name. And that is all that is there.
Well, locations like that, would a place of that nature, in your opinion, be more likely to have activity at, or less likely because it is less visited? There's not a lot of human energy that's coming and going through there. It's often and by itself, or living energy is what I should say. Or would it be more active for that very reason? Because whoever is there, it's all to themselves, and they may be more interested or apt to want to show themselves when finally there's some attention brought there.
I mean, I can't say for sure either way. It possibly could. It might not. I don't know.
Sure. I just don't know if you'd seen any increase or more likely odds if someone said, go to this cemetery over here that's, you know, well-traveled, or the one that's off the beaten path that barely anyone knows about. Which one is there anything that would, in your mind, say, oh, I want to go to this one because my odds are going to be more likely I'm going to find something there in an investigation?
I know for Lynn and I personally, we would rather go to the lesser known, off the beaten path type of one, just because it, you know, kind of sets that vibe. And
sure.
Also, if it's not right in town and it's hard to get to, there's going to be less outside, you know, disturbances if you're recording, or it's going to be more likely to get concrete evidence. Like if you are in the woods at a forgotten cemetery and you get a shadow or a mist of a figure, you can pretty much guarantee that's not, you know, something that was there that you might have mistaken for paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Or if we get a voice and it's not ours.
Right. Or if we get a voice and there's just us too.
Sure. What sort of evidence have you come across where you initially thought, oh my gosh, I caught something really good, and you're looking at it, whether you realized it at the moment or not, or when you're just reviewing your evidence, and then you kind of do a little more digging and kind of just, you know, weighing the factors or debunking, you know, trying to put anything out there that is not what, you know, it may seem to be. Have you ever had moments like that where, oh my God, I think we caught a screaming child or a crying child, and it turned out, no, it was a raccoon? down, you know, down the way in the forest.
Yes, we went to an abandoned house out my way here. And on video, we thought, because we were leaning in through the broken windows filming, and we thought we got a door moving. And, you know, we were ecstatic and so excited. But when we went back to try to replay it, it was just all shadows and lighting. There wasn't even a door. There wasn't even a door in that doorway. But on the video, it looked like the door was moving. So we were pretty excited, but we quickly had to take that down and fix that.
Let me ask you this, as investigators, because I sitting here in the studio, I get emails and videos and stuff from people all over the world. And obviously one of the most common things I get, probably what you would get too, orb pictures, orb videos, things of that. And so often it's not difficult to point at it and go, this is a refraction from this or that. And it's nothing paranormal. But there are, I believe, orbs that are, in fact, paranormal. What's your opinions on the appearance of orbs? Are they as frequently experienced as some like to think that they are? Or is it more elusive and they're not always, you know, as common as some seem to think they're capturing?
I know myself, I am very picky when it comes to things we would describe as an orb. I think out of all of the orbs that we have caught, I've only kept maybe three. I do think they are, you know, overstated a lot and people do jump to a lot of conclusions, but I do feel orbs are a real thing. They're just not as frequently caught as a lot of people seem to think.
We do have a picture of one on our Facebook page. Becker had happened to be in the part of the cemetery where children were buried. And there is a very round looking orb, and it does look like there is a baby face in it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it definitely is, but it definitely looks like it.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good circle.
It's a big green one.
Yeah.
In the middle of the day.
Yeah. And it was broad daylight.
No flash.
Yeah, I mean, when you have something like that, you get excited at first, but then you realize, wait a second, no, this was that. What is a common thing that besides orbs that you have sent to you that somebody says, this is some evidence that I have, that you take a look at it and you go, I get where you're coming from, but based on my experience, here's what I really think is going on.
I always feel bad in that situation because I'm a nice person. I don't like to burst someone's bubble, but mm-hmm. I will give them my honest opinion in a respectful way. And I've seen a few shadows that I'm not one to say, yes, 100% this is paranormal or absolutely not. But there are a few things that I have said, are you so sure? You know, where was the source of light at the time, and
or dust. Fan or central air blowing stuff around.
Mm-hmm. You know, pareidolia is a big one. And I know when you take a photo and you start to zoom in, even the slightest little bit, things do get quite blurry. Mm-hmm. And you can mistake quite a few things as something paranormal because it happens to myself quite frequently.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you got to kind of take a look and go, what exactly is this to identify it and help someone to kind of make sense. When you do come to someone and say, you know, this is not what you think it is, how often are you met with kind of resistance and people just wanting to dig in and say, no, I know what I caught and you're wrong. And they just want to stay with what they thought they had.
I don't get a whole lot of evidence sent to me. I get more stories and opinions, but on mm-hmm. the few things that have been sent to me, I try to avoid that situation. I'll sure. just be like, you know, honestly, this is my opinion, but I can't say for sure. But there's always, always going to be people that are 100% positive or very negative towards something, like, no, absolutely not. And mm-hmm. it happens frequently, I guess. Yeah.
Lynn?
Yeah, I think overall, they want to hear that it's a orb or a ghost. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. It's just some people, they just believe what they believe.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Becca and Lynn Thomas. A big thank you to them for joining us on the program today and sharing their experiences with us. And thank you to you for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.